Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I've got a watch. Does anyone else have a wristwatch? Show me the wristwatches. How crazy is it when you forget your watch at home? Or you lose your watch, or it stops working and you're so used to looking at your watch. Do you ever feel lost without your watch? Sometimes I feel lost if I don't have this on. I've become way too dependent on it. It's actually a distraction. It consumes me. But maybe for you, it's not your watch. Maybe it's the clock. How often do we look at the clock in our house? The clock whilst we're at work. The clock in the car. Maybe for some of you guys, it's your phone. That can be that thing that if our phone stops working, or if we drop it and it breaks, like, what am I going to do? What did they do 20 years ago? 30, 40 years ago? Life was a lot simpler, wasn't it? The phones are so helpful. But yet they can be so distracting because we're always looking at them and we feel so lost when we don't have them. You know, even with my watch, it's a smart watch. It tells me my body battery. It's telling me right now that if I'm to train and all week with my training, that it's unproductive training. That's what my watch is telling me because I've been doing too much high intensity workouts and I need to mix it up. So it's saying I'm unproductive. It's telling me right now that I'm not ready to train. I'm on a poor readiness of training because I've been going hard. I've just done a marathon. This thing becomes too distracting and I become too dependent on it. Can you guys relate when it comes to your phones, to your watches? Imagine if we were like that with prayer. If we were experiencing prayerlessness in our lives, a life where we don't engage in prayer, if we actually felt lost, like something is missing. I really believe there's an invitation for us, Pneuma South, as a house of prayer. We say we are a family united as a house of prayer in pursuing God's presence. This is who we are, a house of prayer. Imagine if we felt so consumed by our hearts for prayer that we just, it consumes us more than how we look at our watches, how we look at social media, how we look at emails. It's like if your TV dies. Imagine that. When your TV dies and it's not working. What am I going to do? Well, maybe you're like people that are saying amen about the TV. That's great because it's a distraction. But what about your Wi-Fi when you have an outage? Oh, what is happening with this NBN? Because you can't stream things anymore. You can't do things efficiently. There's always something that we become so dependent on and that consumes us. And it can be so frustrating. But I want to ask you today, what are you watching? For me, it's my watch. For me, sometimes it's watching people. What are people doing on Instagram? What are people doing in life? What's happening in the, we like to people watch in different ways to compare. What are you watching? What are you letting your eyes be exposed to? There is an invitation for all of us to keep watch. To keep watch by praying. To keep watch by praying individually, but also corporately. So the title for today's message is Watch and Pray. Watch and Pray. Come with me to Isaiah 62, 6 to 7. Isaiah 62, 6 to 7. This is the prophet Isaiah. He is speaking. He's speaking about Israel, the people of God. And he says these words, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day, all the night. They shall never be silent." See, a watchman is someone who stands guard. Someone who stands guard in the ancient cities back in the days of the Old Testament, in the city, the authorities would post watchmen who would go high up on the walls and they would watch for danger. They would watch for enemies coming. They would protect the city being on the walls. And if they saw danger coming, they would sound an alarm. They would sound a warning for the army to get ready, for the king to get ready, for everyone to get ready. There is an invitation for you and I to get ready for whatever the Lord wants to do. There's an invitation for you and I to get ready for Christ's return. We've got to be ready every day. And when you look at watchmen in the Old Testament, there were specific people when it came to prophets who would be posted as watchmen, who would bring warnings, messages, and would pray for the nation. But when you look at the New Testament, you'll see you don't hear so much about the watchmen, but you'll hear about the watch, watching in the night, the different watches. But what it's talking about is about all of us having spiritual vigilance, all of us being alert, staying awake. There's people in the church, in this church, in the church worldwide, that are asleep. I've been part of that. But the Lord's waking us all up from the distractions, from our sleep, from the things that are consuming us, to say, "I want you to watch and pray." What are you watching? That is the question today. What are you watching? When you read this Isaiah 62, 67, it says, "I have set watchmen all the day." That's ceaseless. That's nonstop. There were watchmen set all the day, all the night. And it says, "They shall never be silent." That is vocal. That is vocal. We're talking about prayer. There's an invitation for all of us to be a praying people. Now, you and I, individually, you just can't vocally pray all the time, can you? You can say you can, but that's not the way the Lord has designed it necessarily. We can have a posture of prayer, that dependence, but we actually need to do it together. And we feel the Lord and sense the Lord inviting us as a church to 24/7 prayer, where we take positions, we take slots where we say, "I'm praying in this hour, I'm praying on that hour," and we want to have ceaseless prayer. We've been doing it for the last 3 months virtually, but this week that is coming up, we're actually doing it in the building, where we're opening up the building. We're going to have a prayer room in that parents' lounge set up for someone to book that prayer room any time of day to come and pray, to be part of that all the day, all the night. Imagine what the Lord will do in us and through us when there's continual prayer, continual covering, continual focus on Jesus, because we can't do this by ourselves. We get to do it together. It's such a selfless thing. You're not just praying for yourself, you're praying for others. It says, "Take no rest," as if you're not going to take any rest. But when we do it together, I play my part and then I rest and do other things in life. You play your part and then you rest and do other things in your life. But the other things that you're doing them out of a place of prayer, out of a place of dependence, out of being guided by the Lord. it shows how it's so vital to be people of prayer, because it says, can I have that verse up again? It says, take no rest and give him no rest. There's an invitation for you and I to give God no rest. He's just waiting for you to pray. There's angels assigned to you to protect you, for you to say, Lord, send ministering angels to this person in that place. They're waiting. But are we paying attention to them? Or are we consumed with the things of this world? So we're to give him no rest. We're to take no rest. I'm not saying don't rest. I'm saying we do it together. We've actually got to be a people of prayer that you look at the need for prayer in your life as if everything depends on your prayer. It's like, if I don't pray, well, this thing's not going to happen. We actually have to look at it in that way, that our prayer is so vital that there's things that the Lord actually will not do unless you, my friend Peter, pray. There's things he wants to do in your workplace. When you pray, through you, through your prayers, through all of us, the word says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. It is powerful and effective. We are all righteous, not because of what we do or what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. God's purpose is for his church and for his people come through the prayers of his people. God's purpose is for his church, for his people, that actually come through our prayers. We've been taught to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's an invitation for us to bring the desire of heaven onto this earth, into our lives, into our workplaces, into our houses through our prayer. We think about the watchman set on the wall. He's high up. She's high up. She's got a vantage point. He's got a vantage point. It's like a come up here moment, like we hear in Revelation. John gets an invitation from Jesus. Come up here. I want to show you something. The Lord is saying to you and I, come up here. Watch and pray. When we don't pray, we're actually saying, God, I don't need you. When I don't pray, I'm actually saying, God, I've got this. I've got this. I don't depend on you. I depend on what I'm doing, myself. I'm preaching to myself. I'm growing in prayer. We're all growing in prayer. We've come a long way as a church when it comes to prayer. But the Lord's continuing to invite us deeper. Because prayer attracts his presence. Yeah. And his presence draws people to him wherever you go as a person of prayer. If you want to see what he sees, if you want to feel what he feels for your situation and for the world around you, you have to be intentional in thinking around this following question. If you want to see what God sees, if you want to desire what he desires, I have to be intentional in answering this question. Who has got your attention? Who's got your attention? What has your attention? It's so hard to pay attention these days. Even in this moment, it's a bit hot in this room, isn't it? When it's hot, I'm hot because that run. I said, James, can you turn off the heater, mate? Because I don't know if the people get cold, they get cold, but I'm hot. But it's not about the preacher. It's not about the worship. It's just there's so many things in life that consume us that will be sitting there thinking about something else. It's so hard to keep people's attention because there's so much fighting for our attention. But the Lord's like, pay attention to me. I've got things to show you. I've got things to say to you. I've got things to reveal to you. Who has got your attention? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded. 1 Peter verse 5, no, chapter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded. Be watchful. There's that word again, watchful. Watch and pray. We heard it in communion today. In Matthew 26, 36 to 46, Jesus keeps saying, you couldn't watch with me. How come you're not watching with me? He says, come with me and watch and pray. That word comes up again. This is about being alert, being awake. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Who's got your attention? You see, you might think, oh, the devil doesn't have my attention. But if we're not focusing on Jesus, if we're not setting our minds on the things of the Spirit, then we're focusing on the things of the world. Then the devil's got your attention. You're just like, oh, they're fine. I'll just let them do their thing. Because they're not even consumed by the things of God. But when you're consumed by the things of God, the enemy will still come for you because he wants to put you down. So it's so hard to get away from the enemy. But the Bible says, resist the devil. Submit to God. And the devil will flee. He keeps coming back. He keeps trying it. But we don't have to be scared of the devil. Jesus has given us the victory, but we have to be alert. And that's where prayer comes in. Who's got your attention? That word, watchful, gregoreo, in the Greek, is for keeping watch, to be on guard, to be awake, to be attentive. There's so much today fighting for your attention. What's got your attention? Is it the screens? Do you have boundaries when it comes to your phone, to your iPad, to your tablets? Times where you just put those things away. Times where you just turn it off so you can just be more alert when it comes to the Lord. Get a Bible that's a hard copy so you don't have to read your Bible on your phone because you know so many things will come up. Prayer is about being attentive to God. Who's got your attention? When we pray, we're actually being attentive to God. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, this is after Paul is sharing with the church in Ephesus about the whole armor of God, the weapons that we have to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. He talks about all those things that we have. But after that, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer. How do you pray at all times? With all prayer. With all prayer and supplication. It says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Does anyone struggle to pray in this room? Is there anyone? I struggle to pray. It is effort. It is work. But as you step out and you pray and you speak to the Lord, it starts to become a joy. You start to enjoy it. He starts to show you things. It's like, how do I pray? We're taught how to pray in the Bible. But also you have a tongue, as in you can speak. We have minds, we think. You talk to your partner, you talk to your spouse, you talk to your children, you talk to your parents. The Lord just wants you to talk to Him. It's just a conversation. It's about us being aware of God in our lives, giving Him time every day. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. The Lord wants to hear from you. He wants your attention. You know, it could be you really struggle with prayer. How about you just start with 5 minutes a day? Just 5 minutes where you actually set your clock. I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. Maybe that's going to be just, you're just going to be silent. Lord, what are you doing right now? Lord, what are you saying? It feels weird sometimes, but God is invisible. but yet his presence can be so tangible. But even when you don't feel it, just as you step in faith, you'll hear him. Ask him, Lord, what are you saying right now? Yeah. Lord, what's on your... If you actually take the time to ask him, he'll give you something. But also, you can also just enjoy the fact that you know him, that he is with you. Just open up the word. If you struggle to pray, just open up the word. Read the Bible. Pray the Bible. Start with 5 minutes. Start with 10 minutes. But make it regular. Don't just do it once a week, once a month. Do it every day. Tell someone, hey, I want to grow in prayer. I want to pray. Can you keep me accountable? Pray with your partner. Pray with your children. There's something where there's no seniors, there's no juniors, there's no chiefs, and that is prayer. Prayer is the great equalizer. You can pray, I can pray, we can pray. But when we pray together corporately in one place, when we pray from wherever we are, his power comes. His power is evident. And this is what he's inviting you and I to be a people of prayer. You make it a routine, you make it regular, it's going to become a habit. It's going to become like running for me. I struggle to not run. Yeah, it sounds crazy. But how crazy do you look at those prayer people? Oh, they pray like so many hours a day. They're crazy. Yeah, I run so much, I'm crazy. But it's because it's become a habit. Then it becomes a desire. It becomes a need. You can't live without it. That when you don't do it, something is missing. Something is starved in your spirit. But you got to take it little by little, day by day, and build it into your life. Ian Bounds wrote a book called The Weapon of Prayer. Prayer is a weapon. Who needs a weapon? We have a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. Ian Bounds says these words, "No man, no woman will pray long and continue to sin. No man will pray long and continue in sin. Praying breaks up bad living, while bad living breaks down prayer. Praying goes into bankruptcy when a man goes to sinning." Wow. If you're struggling with sin, just start praying. Just start praying. Even whilst you're sinning, just start praying. And you're going to put that thing down. You're going to switch that thing off. You're going to stop saying those words, thinking those thoughts. Because you're praying. You can't be anxious and pray at the same time. We all get anxious. And at times that can be a mental disorder and we need to go to the doctors for that. But I'm just talking about when we get anxious, where fear comes in about things that might not even be realistic. Where the enemy is just trying to throw things at us. Start to pray and the peace will come. Start to pray and the peace will come. No man will pray long and continue in sin. Praying breaks up bad living while bad living breaks down prayer. Praying goes into bankruptcy when a man goes to sinning. Who's got your attention? We're doers, aren't we? I'm a doer. One of the things I say to my wife is, babe, there's just so much going on. Sorry I didn't do that thing because there's just so much going on. We're all just doers. We're always doing stuff. And we make excuses because we're just doing, 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 doing. What doing? Just doing. As I was preparing, I got this line. And this line is, do away with doing. Do away with doing and pray. So that what you do out of praying. There's nothing wrong with doing. But you want to do that which has been birthed out of prayer. You want to do that which is led by the Spirit. It doesn't mean we get super spiritual. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I just need to pray about it. No, God gives you wisdom. God gives you the ability to do. But you can just tune into the Lord anytime. He's leading you all the time. So don't start making that as an excuse. But if you're a person of prayer, a person of the Word, a person of the Spirit, Your doing will come out of a place of prayer. What that means, it comes out of dependence on God. The things that we get so consumed with, the things that we're afraid of or that we fear, is it something that God has authored, the Holy Spirit has authored? Or is it something that you've authored? Something you've put expectations on yourself about? Something that someone else has pressured you into or has expectations on you? Sometimes you just got to stop and actually say, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing? See, there's things like the daily examine. It's a way of praying where you actually just pause daily and look at your day and go, Lord, where were you in this time? Where did I see you working, Lord, in this time? Or where did I miss you, Lord, in this time? And you actually start to confess maybe you missed him. Or you start to give him praise because of what he did, but you didn't realize until you stopped and you paused and you prayed. There's so many ways of praying. Yeah. Growing up, I was taught about ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. If you struggle to pray, just grab that, write it down, ACTS. You start. Adoration, Lord, I love you. Start adoring him. Start showing him love, praising him in your prayers. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. A, C is confession. Confess your sin. See, as you start to thank him, he might start to convict you. You start to confess. And then T is thanksgiving. Give him thanks. S is supplication, pray for other people. There's so many different ways. Pete Gregg, the writer of How to Pray, gives us a guide, and he used P-R-A-Y, pause. Pause. That's what we need to do to pray. We pause. And then R is rejoice. A is adoration. And then Y? No, A is ask. Could be ask. A is ask. Did you know prayer is about asking? That's the one we know, isn't it? We love to ask. But did you know prayer is about seeking? God says, seek me and you will find me. Prayer is actually about not just asking him for things, but actually, like I was saying, Lord, where were you in this moment? Lord, what do you want for me right now? Lord, what are you doing in my life? And the why in prayer is yield or yes. Just say yes to what he wants in you and for you. We can spend all day talking about different ways of how you can pray. But it's actually just about getting started. And we, like I said, as a church, are opening up the church this week. We've got a whiteboard to my left over there. It's got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And there's some slots, some times that have not yet been filled. If you're part of this church and you call it home, you've had text messages galore. You've had emails galore. You know we're doing 24/7 prayer. But if you have not, and you know God's inviting you, and guess what? If you don't know he's inviting you, here I am to tell you, he is invited. You are invited. You're part of the house of prayer. Put your name down under one of those hours. We will chuck you on the spreadsheet. We will contact you during the week. There's going to be people coming in the night hours. I'm going to be here. And this is not to show off. There's nothing glorious about being someone who prays. It is hard work. It costs us. But we're to be living sacrifices. When I come to pray, I'm not just praying for my family. I'm saying, Lord, what do you want in this community? Lord, what do you want in that country? Whatever he puts on my heart. And I start to pray for that. But then it aligns your heart with God's heart. So I encourage you, put your name down. Or later on, someone will give you the QR code. Jump in there, put your name down. But who's got your attention? Do away with doing and pray so that what you do out of praying. Jesus in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, says these words, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake." Are we awake? "Keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." We are to be ready for his return. But we're to be ready every day. We're not to get comfortable. We were comfortable when we were dead in sin. But guys, all of you guys, you're not dead in sin anymore. You're alive in Christ. You are. You're alive in Christ. But he's inviting each one of you to be a people of prayer. There's certain things that you're frustrated about, that you haven't got clarity on. Guess where that's going to come? It comes when you actually pause and you pray. But you just don't go into that space, whether it's at home or here, just for that. You just go for him. We just pray just to be with him. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. I love this quote by Pete Gregg. God is mobilizing an army, but it is an army that marches on its knees. God's mobilizing an army, but it's an army that marches on its knees. See, there's people in this room right now, you're going, bro, I don't even pray that much by myself. You want me to come to church to pray? You're kidding. Or someone say, do you know what's happening in my life? Do you know the unanswered prayer? I've prayed, but God just doesn't like me like that. He just doesn't answer my prayers. There's people saying, I'm so broken. Do you know what I'm going through? Why would I even start to do that? I just need to sort my stuff out. We're all broken. But actually, God is mobilizing all of us. If you call Nima South home, to be an army of broken people that march on their knees. Marching on our knees is having that posture of prayer every day. So there's an invitation to watch and pray. Do you realize that there's one who is watching you? There is one that's actually watching you, whose eye is always on you, and he longs for your attention. He longs for your attention. Shay, he longs for your attention. He's pleased with you. He's giving you the gift. There's a gift that he's giving you, and in this season, it's a gift of time. I don't know what your time looks like, but I know you've had a gift of time. But I just see that something strategic the Lord wants to do with that time. In the community, in your family, in the church. But he just wants your attention. He loves it when you're just focused on him. And when you focus on him, which you know what that's like, your daughters see it. Your son sees it. Your husband sees it. It is tiring, but the Lord is pleased with you, and he's continuing to say, Shay, stay on that path. I've got them. Their salvation is in my hands, not your hands. And Lord, we just thank you that prayer is for all of us. That word is for all of us. That the things that might be burdening us, you're at work, but you just want our attention. So who's the one who's watching you? Whose eye is always on you? You know who it is, don't you? His name is the Lord. Come with me in your Bibles, open them up to Psalm 121. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you. That word comes up again. Keep, watch. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. We have nothing to fear. He's watching over us. He is keeping us. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We get to share in Christ's suffering. This world is not perfect, but he is keeping us. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 127 verse 1. Psalm 127 verse 1, one of the songs of ascent, says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. What are you building in your life right now? What are you working on? Is the Lord part of that? Are you co-laboring with him? Is he leading that? Because he says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. When we pray, we invite the Lord to build our house. When we pray, we invite the Lord to build our lives. When we pray, if we're building on something that is not of the Lord, he shows us and he gives us instruction and he brings people around that can help us. Who's watching you? My last or second last question for you, because I just love questions. I reckon the Lord asks some real good questions. The question for you is, will you watch with him? And will you watch for him? Will you watch with him and will you watch for him? Matthew 26, 36 to 46. I'm just taking it back to communion for a few moments. If the worship team could come up, please. Matthew 26. In our Bibles, we heard this in communion today. Jesus is about to be betrayed. He's with his men, his boys, his disciples. He's going into one of his hardest moments. It says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus invites his closest ones to come and experience his trouble and pain with him. He invites you and I to come to a place where we get to know and hear his heart. He says to them, my soul is very sorrowful even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Will you watch with him and for him? And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed. You know, you see people on their face in church at the altar sometimes and you think they're crazy. There you go. They get it from Jesus. He fell on his face. And then he prayed, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. When we come to a place of prayer, we've got to say that to the Lord. Not my will, but your will. He still wants to hear what you want. He wants to hear what you need. But in that space, he will bring clarity to what he has for you. And Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? He expected them to watch with him, to pray with him. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. It actually wasn't for him. He wanted them to pray, to watch, so that they would not enter into temptation. See, the call to prayer is not just for others, just for Jesus. It's actually Jesus looking out for you so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping. He's so patient, isn't he? He finds us sleeping, but he continues to invite us, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. See, their watching was to prepare them for the betrayal. Jesus asked them to watch. It actually wasn't for Jesus. He knew what was coming, but he was preparing them for what was coming for them. The hardship, the confusion, the temptation to deny him. Imagine if they'd actually watched and prayed. What might have happened to them? Maybe Peter wouldn't have denied Jesus. I don't know. Maybe the disciples wouldn't have doubted that he was going to rise from the dead. It took him a while to realize, to remember what he said. Jesus is looking out for you and I when he invites us to pray, because he's actually preparing you and I for what is coming. Guess who knows what's coming? Michael, for you, who knows what's coming? Jesus. He knows what's coming. And he wants to give you strength in that space of prayer, strength in that space of being in the Word. Lord, forgive us for trying to do things by ourselves without you. You know what we need. Verse 40 said, he found them sleeping. This is not to be a negative burden of prayer. It can sound like we're yapping on about it. But guess what? It's the only thing that God's inviting us to as your location pastors, is for us to be a people that pray. Because we only want to get consumed in doing what he wants us to do. Your marriage needs prayer. Your child struggling with mental health needs prayer. Your body needs prayer. Your soul needs prayer. We're not worshiping prayer. But this is what the Lord has asked us to do. To watch and pray so we can be close to him. We cannot forget about him in the day. Lord, we want to look back and say, wow, look at what the Lord has done. The word says, if my people humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Dingley Village needs healing. There's people in the car park that need provision. They need healing. Melbourne needs Jesus. And this church is just one small part of Melbourne. But if we just do our part, for some of you, it's going to be waking up during the week to just pray at 3 a.m. at home. For some of you, it's going to be coming in during the day to just pray, but it's going to unlock something. It's going to start something. We should never be too busy to pray. We should actually be too busy that we have to pray, because God's given us so much to do. We can't go about doing it without praying. So we need to spend time on our knees first. And then that thing that could take you 8 hours to do, to get that sale, to get that job, because you've prayed and God's guiding you, it happens. Can we all stand? My last question for you this morning is, will we be found? Will you be found awake and ready to draw on his strength? Will you be found awake and ready to draw on his strength? See, when we pray, he strengthens us. He gives us what we need for what is to come. When the temptation comes, when the trial comes, when the bad news comes, God's not surprised. But guess what? He would have given you what you needed in that time of prayer. He would have given you what you needed in that time in the Word, that when that thing comes, He'll just give you wisdom. He'll give you strength. He'll give you direction. It'll still be hard, but He'll take you through it. And you'll just be like, wow, it really, the word is true. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. The Bible says, no temptation has seized you. No trial has seized you. No situation has seized you except that which is common to man. All the stuff that we go through is common to man. It'll be so hard for us in those moments and has been. But God in 1 Corinthians 10:13 says through the Apostle Paul, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man, and God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will give you a way out. He will always give you a way out. Sometimes you have to go through it and grow through it with Him, but He gives you a way out. But even on the way out, He's with you. Sometimes it's right away. Will you be found awake and ready? 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, so then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.